Welcome to The Challenge, where we'll discuss the challenges that life gives us. Challenges from the perspective of people with disabilities, and challenges from those who encounter a disabled person in any walk of life. If you have comments about the show or would like to be a guest, call a listener feedback line at 206-333-0257. That's 206-333-0257. Or send email to challenge8255@gmail.com. And now your host, Steve Bauer.
This is program number 27. Well, welcome into our show. I'm Steve Bauer, and, well, there's no guests this week, and part of that is, well, several reasons play into it, but mainly the biggest reason is that I managed to catch a cold, and I still sound kind of clogged up, but for about a week or so, I felt so terrible, and in fact, even missed a couple days of work. And so just didn't have time to get anything put together. And so I decided to go ahead and do the show myself. There's a couple of things I want to talk about. And we'll just do it that way and see how things move along. There are a couple of ways that you can give me feedback on the show. If there's something you want to talk about, or maybe you just have feedback about a topic we have been talking about, you can send email to this address, challenge8255@gmail.com. That's challenge8255@gmail.com. We also have an audio feedback line, and when you call this number, it basically sends me a message, and I get to hear what you say. And that number is 206-350-2757. That's 206-350-2757, and as are the two ways that you can give me feedback on our show. So what are we going to talk about? And this is kind of weird because I'm not totally sure, but I want to talk about a new printer, and which is kind of cool. And we may do a little, well, some tips and things that I've come up with in setting up Windows, and I don't know what's going to happen yet. It's just one of those times when I'm just kind of sitting back and whatever comes to the top of the brain will come out. So that's sort of the situation. Hopefully we'll get back to normal and get back up to speed and get some interviews done with people, and it won't be just me talking. Did enjoy talking last week with Judith Killen from Australia. And it's so interesting hearing what different people do and how they do it and their interests, and really enjoyed talking with her. It was so interesting because we had been trying to get together for quite some time. We'd send emails back and forth, and I finally got her on Skype. Well, got my request to talk to her on Skype, and just never heard anything. Well, you see, the time difference. What, 13? What'd she say? 13 hours different ahead? She's ahead of me. And so, if it's evening time for me, it's early morning the next day for her. And so, one evening, I got in here and was kind of waiting on my wife to fix dinner, and I saw her on Skype. Ooh, looky here. And so we contacted and talked, and I said, well, can I go ahead and eat dinner, and then we'll hook up. And we did, and it worked out nice. But it was kind of a challenge to get, you know, the thing together with that time difference. That was interesting. But I'm glad I got to talk to her. It was kind of neat and enjoyable, too. I want to talk about a printer. And you might think, a printer? You're excited about a printer? Well, I am. And what amazed me is that oftentimes when you read reviews of new equipment in the main general press, and this was in the New York Times magazine, or newspaper rather, excuse me, And in New York Times, and let's see, when was it? If I have the date on this thing. It was December last year, December 27. And this gentleman wrote a review of the Brother QL570 printer. And I read it, and I thought, wait a minute, that sounds neat. So I read the article again. And what this is, it's a little tiny printer. It's a label printer. Okay, let me get that piece of the puzzle laid out so you understand. Kind of looks like a little Rolodex, if you know what Rolodex can look like. It weighs about 2.5 pounds, and you have to plug it into electricity. And then you use the USB connection to connect it to your computer, and then you put these rolls of labels in there. Now, I know you can put the sheets of labels into your printer and use Word and print labels that way, and well, I frankly got tired of trying to line everything up and make it work, and I didn't think it was going to work for me. So when I heard about this particular printer, I thought, you know, for doing address labels for envelopes, for labels for CDs, whatever the case may be, this might really be perfect. The rolls of labels can be up to 2 3/7 inches wide, and they can be pre-cut or standard sizes or custom lengths. And you can print a half-inch round stick-on address label, a yellow banner, or an ID tag, something like that. The resolution on these things is, what do they say here, 300 by 600 dots per inch, which means you can even add high-resolution logos or photos to your labels. Now, the cool thing, one of the things that really attracted me to this is that the printing is thermal. So you don't have ink. You don't have a ribbon. You don't have the ink to put in it or anything like that. It's all thermal. It does work on either a Mac or a PC, which is pretty good. Now, the unit does come with some software, and we'll talk about that software in just a moment. The results, according to the guy that wrote the article and the reviewer, are decidedly more legible than indelible markers scribbled on labels. So I'm sure that is definitely the case with that. And what I find is that it really is slick. You can go into the program. It has a little editor. And you can go in there and type up your label, and it sizes the print. You select the font, and it has about 125 fonts you can choose from. You select the print size, and I don't know. I'm not good on all these terms, but when I mean the font, you can select the style and then the size. Okay, you can do all that, and then what it does, it fills the label. Okay. In other words, if you just put a person's name on a label, it's going to be in great big large print. And I've looked at it with the Opticon, so I'm able to tell what it does. If you put four lines of print, it kind of sizes the print down to make it fit. So, for example, if I'm typing an address label, what I always do is I put a blank line and then the person's name, the street address, and the city and the zip code, and another blank line. And that makes it a really nice size for going on an envelope or that type of thing. The roll of labels goes in there, and I don't know how many labels are on a roll. I think 500. And they're pre-cut, well, as far as there's a space between the label, each label anyway. And you can tell it in the setup, you can have it cut the labels for you, or you can just have it print and hold the label there. Now, I've got it set to cut the label, which means you've got to have your hand there to catch it when it comes out. The only design change I would make in this little printer is I would have a little tray for the label to fall into, but other than that, it's fine. And it's so fast when it prints it. It just, bzzz, and it's done. It's just that fast. So this label machine has saved me a tremendous amount of time. And I used to, and I still have my old typewriter. Poor guy didn't get used hardly anymore because the label printer's doing it. But I used the typewriter to type labels for CDs. And here again, I was never any good at getting set up in Word to print the little round label that would go on the CD. And when I did, it didn't look very good. And then trying to put the stupid thing on the CD. Anyway, so this has just been great. And price-wise, let's see, what do they say? You can find them. Well, I was going to say you can find them anywhere, and that's not true. According to the article that was in the New York Times, you can find them from $41.99 to $109.65. Now, I paid $99.95 for this one, and I got it at Office Max, a big office supply store. And so far, that is the only retail outlet I've been able to find them at. And so recently, I decided that this little label printer has been such a life-saving thing for me as far as time. I wanted another one because I wanted to have it at my office. And it was hard to find. I finally had to order one online. I didn't want to go to Office Max because it's kind of far away and didn't want to mess with it. But so I found one online, had to pay $82.50 for it. and got it through Amazon.com, somebody that works through them. So anyway, if you're looking for something that is major easy to use to do labels, the Brother QL-570 will do it for you. Now, I want to talk about the software. The software is very easy to install, and it works well with speech. The installation does. But when I got it installed the first time, I was stuck. I created a test label and played with it, and it worked great. And so I closed the software down and opened it again and pulled up my test label because I wanted to edit it and play with it some more. Could not figure it out. Couldn't get to the text to edit it. So I wound up calling tech support, which was a challenge. But anyway, the long and the short of it is that once you pull up a form or a label that you want to edit, you have to use your mouse pointer and you go down there anywhere in the label, anywhere on the text, it doesn't matter, and you simply left click. And now you can arrow around and space and edit and do everything you want. Once you get that little trick covered, the software is perfect. So if you're looking for something easy to use that is cool and it will print labels that you know look good, the Brother QL-570 will do it for you. I'm Steve Bauer, and you're listening to The Challenge on ACB Radio Mainstream. And no guests this week, but you get me. Well, I mentioned that I wanted to talk about some other stuff, and by now I'm going to assume that the coconut heads in Washington, D.C. have managed to resolve the big problem of the financial industry and getting the little plan out that's going to cost us billions and billions and billions. But it just makes me really sad. And it makes me sad for several reasons. Now, I've been fortunate to have a job throughout my adult life. I'm not getting rich. Live from paycheck to paycheck, just like most other middle-class Americans do. And I've been able to live in a house, and I've been able to make the payments. At times, my wife and I have had to sacrifice to make payments and pay our bills. But we've done it, And the sacrifices have been, you know, we don't buy a piece of furniture or whatever. We don't go on a fancy trip. We take care of the bills first. And I really, when I was younger, I never really thought that by the time I got into my mid-50s, which is where I am now, that I could sit here and say that my house is paid for, which to me is still astonishing. I still don't have any money because now, now we're having to go through and do the updating and the remodeling and that has to be done to a home. And so the kitchen is next. Lord help us, the kitchen is next. But anyway, yeah, I'm thinking about this thing. I've worked, and we've made sacrifices, and we've paid for our house. Now, yes, I would like a bigger house. Not a huge house, but I like a little more room, bigger bedrooms, just a little more room. But I'm not going to go in debt now to do that. But, okay, so I've done this. I've paid for my house. I've stayed in the house that, like I say, is just maybe a little smaller than I really want. But then you get this other joker, and now there's many jokers, that weren't satisfied with what they could afford. So they go to these shyster lenders, and they get a mortgage on a house that is much bigger and will cost them much more, but the shyster bankers made them a deal and no down payment and your interest rate is really low and your payment is this much, and in 5 years, though, your interest rate is going to go up and your payments are going to go up, but Mr. Shyster Banker Lender says, but the value of your house will increase so much that you can sell it before this big balloon bursts, and you'll make all this money, and then you can go buy a bigger house, and we'll do it again. And so instead of Mr. Joker America taking that 5 years and living in this house that they shouldn't be living in because it's more expensive than they can really afford, and trying to save money, they say, oh, I have all this extra money now because my house payment is low. So, what am I going to do? I'm going to go buy me a new car. Cars are one of the worst investments you can ever make in your whole life. You buy a new car, you drive it off the lot, and it has immediately depreciated and is worth $2,000-$3,000 less than you just paid for it. So they have this house with their low house payment, their low interest rate, their fancy new cars, S on the end of cars, because chances are they're not going to buy just one, they're going to buy two. And they've got their fancy cars and their iPhone and whatever, and life is good until the market doesn't do what it's supposed to do, or what Mr. Joker, slimy, sleazy, scuzzy banker told him it would do. And all of a sudden, they're looking at this dramatic increase in their house payment, and oh my gosh, how can we do that? Because we got car payments, and all of a sudden, they lose their house. Now, that doesn't happen just once. It happens all the time. Because Mr. Slimy, Sleazy, Sleazebag Banker gave him this subprime mortgage. And now, because this has happened so many times, they have to be bailed out or the whole economy is going to crash because so much of this was done. There are complete neighborhoods in certain cities that are almost empty now with all these houses sitting there. Houses that in most cases have just been trashed because the people didn't take care of them. That's why I could never own houses and rent them to people, because I couldn't stand the thought of going in there and seeing what these people do to houses. A friend of mine said that there was a house that had been repossessed, a couple houses from him. Lives in a nice neighborhood. Nothing fancy, just nice. And he thought, well, maybe if he could buy it at a decent price, you know, go in, paint it inside and out, put some new carpet down, rent it, it might make for a little bit of income. And then, sell it one of these days when the market goes back up. And he contacted the real estate people, and they said, oh, yeah, man, that'd be a heck of a way to go. All you need is a little carpet and some paint, and you're done. He went in. He said he could not believe the condition of the house. There was dog and cat waste all over the carpet. There were holes in the walls. The woodwork was all scratched up. It was obvious that there was some kind of a water problem. Pipe broke or washing machine blew up or something in the basement. So a lot of things were rusted. And he estimated that it would cost him probably $40,000 or $50,000 just to get this house cleaned up. So people don't take care of their stuff, and I don't understand it. I mean, you work hard to own a home. Why not keep it clean, keep it fixed up? And they don't. They just trash it. And then, well, why should they worry about it? They're going to walk away from it in 5 years, and somebody else can mess with it, because they're not going to pay that higher payment. They can't afford that. And now we've got to bail them out. We've got to have the chance that our taxes are going to go up, 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 up. And services, in many cases, are probably going to be cut from certain areas, because we've got to bail all these shyster, sleazebag, low-life, scumbag bankers out who made all these worthless loans. And it just, to me, isn't right. And I hope whoever is elected president, that they're able to get in there and fix this problem. And, of course, see, if I were doing things, I would make some changes in the people that serve in the Senate and the House in Washington, D.C. These guys are not accountable for what they do. They are these free spirits that go to Washington and make a bunch of money, and they're treated like heroes, and it goes to their head. Number one, they would get 6 weeks of vacation a year. That 6 weeks, they could go and do whatever they want. And I would even go so far, maybe, to make it 8 weeks total, so they could maybe go back to their hometowns and meet with people and whatever. Okay, I'll be generous. We'll give them 8 weeks. There would be definitely 2 weeks at Christmas and 2 weeks in the middle of the summer. And the other time, they could schedule to be away. They would have to be in the Senate or the House minimum of 4 days a week, 9 a.m. until noon, and 2 until 5. Give them Friday to work in their office all day. Secondly, thirdly, fourthly, whatever, every time there is a vote on a bill, if they are not there to vote and are not on an excused absence, like again, they can have some time off to go back home or whatever. If they are not on an excused absence, it is an immediate fine. Now, what can that fine be? Maybe $1,000. You could make it higher, but that probably wouldn't be fair. Every vote they miss, $1,000 fine. If they're, let's just take Senators McCain and Obama for example. They are off campaigning, running for president. Okay? That's fine. Number one, their pay as a senator cut after they've used their allotted vacation time for the year, cut. They're not there. They're not sick. So they would be having a cut in pay, plus that $1,000 fine for not being there to vote. And, of course, again, they wouldn't be fined the $1,000 during their allotted vacation time. But once that expires, then if they're still out, $1,000 a vote. And that would get their attention a little bit. All right, sir, I didn't really mean to climb up on my soapbox, but I kind of had to do that. Here in the United States of America on November 4th, it's Election Day, when we will elect the next president of the United States and other people and in various and sundry offices. So it's so important that if you are of age and that you're registered to vote and that you do make your vote count, taking the attitude of, well, oh, it doesn't matter, my one vote doesn't count. But if several hundred thousand people say that, it does matter. So your vote does indeed count. And many of the counties across the country do have accessible voting machines. I know where I am located, we do. And it is a total thrill to be able to go in and sit down in front of that machine and cast my vote with nobody helping me, with nobody knowing who I vote for. And then I can sit back and watch the returns come in, and I can yell and scream at the TV and even or the radio, whatever the case may be. So November 4 is a very important day. Many places have advanced voting. You can vote by mail, or you can go to locations in the week before the election and vote early. And that's actually what I like to do. My wife and I go early, and that means the crowds are much less, and it just works out nice. So we'll go early and vote, and then we can both yell at the TV. So very important. Please vote. It is so important that you do, because I'm not going to tell you who to vote for, although I could, but I'm not going to do that. It's just more important you get out there and vote. So if you want to get in touch, feedback for the show would be this. The phone number is 206-350-2757. That's 306. That's 206-350-2757. That's our comment line. And, of course, email challenge8255@gmail.com. Well, thanks for putting up with me. Hopefully next time I'll be in better shape. And I hope you have a great week, and thank you for listening to The Challenge.
If you have comments about the show or would like to be a guest, send email to challenge8255@gmail.com. To receive email alerts about the show each week, including information about our guests, send a blank message to challenge8255-subscribe@googlegroups.com. That's a blank message to challenge8255-subscribe@googlegroups.com. Thanks for listening, and stay strong when encountering the challenges of life. Please join us next week at this same time for another edition of The Challenge from ACB Radio Mainstream.